still holding on the bottom of Nunches Amud Beis. And the last piece of the Mishnah was Nisarmalo and Nisgarshu. Okay. So what's the din? Well, it depends on whether it was Mina Nisuin or Mina Erisin. So if it was Mina Erisin, she's no longer Mishtamesh to be a Psula, she's Kshera. If it was a Nisuin, meaning that they had actually slept together, or if you hold the HBL of Psula, that depends already how we learned this Sugyot yesterday. But Boy Mina Rukhiya Bar Yosef Mishmo. Let me ask you something. This question appears to be unrelated to our mission. The halacha is that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Betula. Now, we're going to see later on, since our Masechta defines all of the Arayas and all of the Yisr of Lavin and all of the Yisr of Truma and Kohen and Sulais and so on, later on we're going to see that a Betula does not only mean a Betula. A Betula does not only mean that she's a virgin. A betula means that she's virginess, which means that she still actually has a full complement of a young girl's hymen. Once she's over the age of bagrut, there's already an erosion in the level of the betulim, and she's not called a betula for a kohen gadol. So therefore, the kohen gadol has to marry at least a ketana, a nara. He can't marry a bogera. Let's say that the Kohen Gadol was Mekadesh Aktana, and then she went ahead and up and got older on him, before he had a chance to go and to take her to the Chuppah.
Just like a woman.
Right? Yeah, just like a woman. So, Mao, what would be the thing? Do we say we look at the time of the Nisuin, or do we look at the time of the Erisin? About the Nisuin, as we know about the Erisin, as we know. Do we say that since the time that he took her, she was Kshera for him, so now he could finally consummate the marriage? Or it's at the time of the consummation that she has to be the Betula? Because obviously, she doesn't have to be a Betula her whole life. That would make things difficult for the Kohen Gadol. Marley Tenitua. Well, I think that that is precisely what that Mishnah back in Yavamas teaches us. And amazingly, it's the mission that we just learned. It's an amazing coincidence. And it says it right there in our Mishnah, Nitzarmalo Nitgarshu Mina Nisuin Pisulot Mina Erosin Kisherot. Okay? What do you see from there? That when it comes to the Psul of Kahuna, what counts is Nisuin, not the time of the Erosin. So, same thing over here. Oh, my life. What
does it mean he can't marry?
That he can't marry her. The one. The Harrison, she has to be at the time of the Nisuin, she has to be. Omar Lay, so he says, we're not talking about the same situation over here. I didn't mean that we're talking about that she should be a Chalala. Obviously, Bia is required for making a Chalala, right? So, what are you talking about? You're talking about another issue back there, question of whether he apostles her for the Truma. Of course, he's not an apostle for the Truma unless there was Nisuin. What do you think, I'm crazy? What does that have to do with the question that I'm raising? I'm raising a different issue. I'm telling you, the Torah says, V'hu isha bibetuleha yikach. I want to know what the din of yikach means, because sometimes likicha is used in the sense of erisin, and sometimes likicha is used in the sense of Nisuin. So what does it mean, man? Is it a kich of kedushin, or is it a kich of nisuin? That's my question. You're bringing me rias that a woman doesn't become a chalala unless she's nivelas to someone who's usher. That's off the wall. It's completely unrelated to what I'm asking. So is it kicha de kedushin bina or kicha de nisuin bina? Omalei. Well, anami kinitua. That's also Mishnah, but it's not in Yavamas. It's in Ksuvas. The Mishnah says, erase it to Almana. Suppose a guy who was a normal Kohen went ahead and he gave Kedushin to an Almana, which of course is completely mutter, he's not a Grusha, he's not a Kohen Gadol, and then those no goodniks made him a Kohen Gadol. Nitmanu liyot Kohen Gadol. So now, before he gets a chance to take his poor wife, he finds out he's the new Kohen Gadol. So can he consummate the marriage? Because when he took her, she was okay. Or is it all Nogea and Nisui? So it says over there, the halacha is, Yichnas, he is allowed to consummate the marriage. So what do you see from there? That if at the time of the Arison it was okay, then there's no problem. That's your answer. Oh no, that's not my answer. Because there's another issue over there, says Reb Chiya Bar Yosef to Shmuel. It sounds like a good answer, but it isn't. Because Shiny Hatam over there, it's very different. Because it adds over there, specifically, Dichtiv Yikach Isha. Ki'im Betulah Mi'amav Yikach Isha. Well, what else did I think it meant? Yikach for what? Yikach as an alligator. Yikach Isha. Obviously, Isha. So therefore, it's adding another Isha. So that means, okay, so all that counts is the Isha. This Isha is an extra person to tell me, even if he was Ma'aris or as an Almona and he wasn't a Kohen Gadol, we don't have to worry about him becoming a Kohen Gadol. No, it's a Shmuel, no. So it says Isha here, it's the same Isha, I understand. Aren't you being the diet from the Pasuk that all that counts is the Arison? That's what I told you. I understand. What you,
she's calling Isha.
Yeah. So what are you telling me? So all you're doing is you're confirming what I told you. No. Isha is a ribui of a case. It's not defining the nature of Nisuin or Arison. It's telling us there's an additional Isha. But it's only one. Isha achat. Not two. There's one case that's extra. So now we're faced with two possible cases. One case is the woman changed on him and became a Bogeret instead of a Betula. The other case is he changed on himself and became a Kohen Gadol, whereas before it was a Kohen. I say the case that it's telling you is included, he's allowed to marry, is where he became a Kohen Gadol. But if the woman is no longer a Betula, then not. Mara, you tell me, well, what makes you say in this case better than the other case? No, because Ha'ishtani Gufa, the Bogeret is now a different person. So between the Arison and the Nisuin, it makes much more sense to say that, look, I mean, the Torah is interested in what the woman is. But if the Torah is just adding a case, it makes much more sense that the added case of Isha is, look, if you were a regular guy, and they've already done the Arison, I'm not telling you that you're included in the case of a Kohen Gadol Estek, docked at the time of Nisuin, a Bogeres. As long as you already had her as an Isha, you can keep her. That makes more sense to add than to add the case of Mishtana Gufa.
Zekta Hele Commissioner, Kohen Gadol lo yisei almana, bein almana min erosin, bein almana min Nisuin. So, the Kohen Gadol, as we saw earlier, is not allowed to take an Isha Almana. And this is true whether she was actually had consummated the marriage or whether she had simply been Mekabelas Kedushin and then the husband died before she had ever slept with him. Because it says Almana, Ugrusha v'chalala zona, et eila lo yikach. V'lo yisa et habogeret. Not only that, he cannot even marry a woman who is over 12 and a half years of age, or actually the correct definition is 6 months beyond the stage at which she reaches puberty. Now that may be after 12, obviously, but it needs to be at least at 12, according to Moshitas. And the reason for this, as we'll see, is because the Torah insists that this woman be fully a virgin, which means that what we want is to have all of the initial shmira on her virginity, which means that her hymen cannot have been stretched out, weakened, which is generally the case after reaching the age of bagrut. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon machshirim b'bulgaret, and we'll see what the argument is later. They both hold that it does not mean that she has to literally be a complete betula. It's sufficient if she is a betula. Ulo yisa et mukat eitz, but it is also, even though she never had sexual relations, the very removal of her betulim even if this were done through an accident or by bumping against the top of a bike or by getting injured through insertion, mukat eitz means literally insertion of a piece of wood, which tore through the hymen. In that case, we are agreed that here she's definitely, even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who said we don't care if there's something that has happened to her betulim through aging, but there still needs to be betulim. If the betulim were removed, even in a way that has nothing to do with sexuality, nonetheless, everyone would agree that certainly a kohen gadol is asur lemukat eitz. Tana Rabbanan, it says the Gemara, the pasuk that says almana, and of course it adds grusha v'chalala zonat eila lo yikach, we darsh, and this means bein almana mena erusin, bein almana mena nisuin, are all the same. So the Gemara pshita, why would they not be the same? The Torah doesn't mention over here anything but the word almana. Certainly the word almana is used constantly in the case of a woman whose husband died, whatever the stage of marriage that had been achieved. Well, ma'od etema, leilif almana, almana mitamar. It does, after all, say by Tamar, just a little coincidence that that might have something to do with the whole point of Masechet Yevamos, as those who have read Rut may recall. But just like it says by Tamar, shvi almana beit avich. Okay, now, she there had been married to Erva Onan, after Nisuin, certainly had relations with them. So, Mala Halan Mina Nisuin, just like the word Almana in the context of Tamar means after Nisuin, I might have thought that Afkan Mina Nisuin, that the Almana that is mentioned in the Pasuk of the Kohen Gadol, Almana, Grusha, V'chalala, Zana, Tela, Lo Yikach, is also referring to an Almana Mina Nisuin. Therefore, Kamashma on the Mishnah comes to teach us that an Almana Mina Erosin is also Asura. Says the Gemara, you know, now that you mention it, maybe we should actually learn out from Tamar, huh? Answers the Gemara, no. Because the almana over here is made in comparison to Grusha. Dumya do Grusha. I mean, let's take a look at the context. The local context in terms of the Kohen Gadol, alright? There clearly, I mean, the Torah does not make any chiluk by Grusha, and there'd be no basis for making such a chiluk. A Grusha that is usur, a surah to a coin, is definitely bein min hazuin, bein min hayirusin. So what's the point of thinking now that we should take almana out of its context and say, well, the way it's used by Tamar, afamana, bein min hayirusin, bein min hazuin, within the context of the Yisurim that include grusha and chalala, makes no sense to say that it's unique. Furthermore, continues the Mishnah, v'lo yisata bogeret, tona rabbanan. By the Kohen Gadol it says, Vuhu isha binvetuleha yikach. Instead of saying Vuhu betula yikach, this teaches us, Prat levogeret, shekalula betuleha. This means that she cannot be even a bogeret, because in some partial way, the betulim have been now lessened, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, machshirim bevogeret. They say it's okay if she's a bogeret, as long as the betulim are there. But my point, kamifli, what exactly are they arguing about in the pasuk of vehu isha betuleha yikach, which, I mean, on the surface appears to be very much redundant. He could have simply said vehu betula yikach, the worst isha betula yikach, but bivetuleha is the most awkward way of saying betula. Therefore, the word bivetuleha must be coming to, according to both sides, adding something. So Rabbi Meir says, look, if it would have written in the pasuk bitula, so then bitula would have meant that afilu miktsat bitulim. Somebody who has any type of bitulim, even though they've been weakened, a bitula is a bitula, mashma. So therefore, when it comes along now, bituleha ad deika kol habitulim. When it says bituleha, all the bitulim that were hers, that means that the way they were initially, every marker that she had been untouched sexually, is part of her bitulim. So by adding bituleha, it's telling me we need to have all of the bitulim. which accounts for the fact that Rabbi Meir therefore holds that a bogeret is asura to a kohen gadol because she doesn't have bituleha. She may have bitulim. Furthermore, Rabbi Meir learned something else out from this strange word, and that is from the fact that it doesn't say bituleha, it says bivituleha. So the bait is mashma, that it's only in the area of the bitulim that the Torah is makbin. Obviously, the bitulim only keep her from vaginal intercourse. And therefore, bichidar ka'in, we're only considering her a non-bitula if she had bia kidarka, but shelo kidarka, any kind of contact that would not affect bitulim, such as anal intercourse, lo, that would not aser her on a kohen gadol, because it's not bivitulim, it's not in the place of bitulim. Whereas, for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savri, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon will hold that there's no problem of taking a bitula who is a bogeret. They darshan like this. If the pasuk had simply said, v'hu bitula, okay, isha bitula yikach, so that would have meant bitula shlema. She is defined as a bitula. And only a bitula, that is to say, the model of bitula, complete bitula. Whereas a bogeret who would have lost some of her bitulim should not be considered to be the completely virginous and untouched woman. And she indeed would be asura to a kohen gadol. So basically that's what they're arguing. And according to Rabbi Meir, a bitula is not a model for a concept of virginity. A bitula simply means a woman who has a hymen. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the concept of bitula is virginous, so that there's a complete element of virginity associated with her. Comes along the pasuk now, and it adds here, bivetuleha. Bivetuleha indeed comes to tell me, achiyu ko bituleha kayami. All we need to know, however, is that she should have all her bitulim, which means that she should not have had any sexual relations. Now, those sexual relations could be anywhere, bein bichdarka, bein shalokidarka, because bivituleha, according to them, means in a virginous state, a virginous state in the sense of not having had sexual relations. Therefore, according to them, the opposite is true. The idea of in that state would mean whether it's kidarka or whether it's shalokidarka. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, we would never have thought such a thing, because we can't say, according to him, the word bivituleha comes to tell me that the opposite, that nivala shalokadark is asura to a kohen gadol, like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are saying, because according to Rabbi Meir, in order to asur shalokadark, we wouldn't have needed an extra riboy. After all, he asurs even a bogeret in which no ma'aseh at all was done. But he focuses, because of this, on the actual notion of the bitulim themselves, as opposed to the virginous state. And so because of that, if a person who had not had any kind of contact would have not been considered a bitula, because according to Ms. Bogeret, it is not, kosher came if she had been nivela shelo kedarka. If therefore it adds bivitulah, it's coming to be mater her if she nivela shelo kedarka. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav. Nivala shelo kedarka psula lakuna. On the contrary, he holds that a woman who was developed shalokadarka is indeed pasul kohuna, meaning, of course, a kohen gadol to a kohen head, yet she certainly is mutera, she's not considered to be a zonah, unless she was nivelis to an actual iser. She was nivelis to a mamzer, perhaps to an okri. Mosiv Rava. So Rava asks now, against Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, it says, v'lo tihye li'isha, in a case where a man raped a woman, he has to take her as a wife if that's what she wants, and he's not allowed to divorce her. There we darshan that this means be isha haru'uyalo. Lo tiyed li'isha, it has to be a suitable wife. Prat la'almana the kohen gadol, that if the kohen gadol had raped a woman who was an almana, so then he would not have to take her, because she, after all, is not the kind of woman that was suitable for him. Now, I mean, as far as the din of making her a zonah, that of course will only be if she's actually a married woman. Okay. So if she's a kamona l'kohen gadol, or if she's a grusha or a chalutza l'kohen hediot, so of course remember that whenever we mention chalutza, it's an insertion of the rabbanon because the Torah doesn't really ask for a chalutza. It's part of the overall way in which the rabbanon treat a chalutza as a grusha, and for that matter, a grusha as a partial chalutza in terms of passing her for yibum. So now, hey, Ridami, tell me what the case was that the Kohen Gadol here raped this almana and that he's not chayev to marry her. He may have been kedarka. Did he rape her through a normal bia? So then, why did the Bryce have to say over here that she's oser mishum almana? Typically, mishum dahavi labula. Even if she hadn't been an almana, but now that he raped her, she is certainly no longer a virgin. And therefore, she's a bu'ula, and we're going to see later on that even a woman that he himself had raped or he himself had seduced is considered to be a bu'ula, and he's not allowed to take her. So what's the difference whether she's an almana or not? So that can't be the case. Elolav, we have to say that the case is that she's not a bu'ula. She's only an almana. How could that be? The only explanation is that he had raped her, but he had raped her shelo kedarka umishum almanain, and therefore the only iser that he has is that he would now have to take her, even though she's asurah to him with the lav of an almana, but not because she's a bula mishum bula lo, because over here, since she was an ensah shelo kedarka, she never became a bula, she's still considered to be a betula. So how could Rav say that even if a woman was nevela shelo kedarka, she would be asura? Then there's no way of making sense out of this braita at all. By the way, you do see from over here that someone who anally rapes a woman is nonetheless still considered to be a ma'anes and has to marry the woman and pay his knas and so on and so forth. That's not the point. And says the Gemara, there's no kasha on Rav. Amani Rabbi Meiri, the brisa that Rav is asking from, is not a problem because it's going Aliba Rabbi Meir, who, as we saw earlier, darshins from the word bivetuleah, that only in the mokum habitulim, normal intercourse, would the Torah be makbid that she should be a betulah, but ain't ochinami. If she was nevela shelok darka, according to Rabbi Meir, she is kishera lekuhuna. Now, that's not a problem with Rav, because Rav, the Amak Rabbi Elazar, Rav, on the other hand, wasn't following the Shita of Rabbi Meir at all. He was following the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, who holds that she's not considered to be a Be'ula. Now, it isn't really that he holds like Rabbi Elazar, because according to Rabbi Elazar, a Kohen Gadol is Mutar Bebogeres, and we'll see later on, according to Rav, a Kohen Gadol is also Bebogeres, and The fact is that someone who learns that, like Rav is, that she's Asur, the Kohen Gadol is Asur Bogeret, he's obviously darshaning Bivituleha to be Matir Shelo Kedark. So what the Gemara means to say over here is not that he literally holds of Rabbi Elazar's approach to the Pasuk. The Gemara is simply saying that Rav was saying that according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, that Nivala Shelo Kedark is Psula Kohen Gadol. And Rav himself doesn't hold that that's true. Okay, so explains to Tosfos the problem. In any event, but Rav was going here in the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Nivala Shelo Kedarka, Psula. Says the Gemara, Ika Rabbi Elazar. Says, my Ari, why did Rav have to say it's talking about over here, Mishum Bu'ula, typically, Dahavi Elazona? After all, according to Rav, forget about the issue of Be'ula. I mean, she would be Asura even to a Kohen Hediot. Because if he's following the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, despite the fact that there was no Isser in the intercourse, in terms of any of the Arayot, or any of the Lavim, it's Rabbi Elazar who happens to be the Man D'Yomer who holds that Panui Habala Panuya Shelo L'Shem Ishut Asa Azona. He holds, as we'll see, that just an unmarried male who sleeps casually with an unmarried female gives her a din of azona and asks her on a coin, even on a coin at Yotza. If he's following Rabbi Elazar, then why in the world would he have said over here that the issue is bu'ula? It's a little bit strange, because Rav never did say it's because of bu'ula. He just said that she's psula. He didn't say why. Maybe it would be because of zona. So some of the Rishonim explain that the reason that we're saying this is because, well, if that were the case, then Rav should have explained that she's asura even to a kohen hedyot, and not allow us to believe that we're continuing to talk about specifically a kohen gadol. And indeed, the Marsha gives an answer that Rav was talking about our Mishnah, which is talking about women or asuras to a kohen gadol, and if the issue was mishum zona, then he needed to be mefarish. In any event, he certainly does not seem to be saying that the pagam over here is to a kohen hedyot. Omer of Yosef, kegon shenivala livhema. What we're talking about over here, Rav is talking about that this woman had been nivelet shelo kedarka, but by an animal. Tahata mishum bu'ula ika. There's no znut to behima. You can't be mezana with a behema. But you can become a bu'ula if you hold it be a shelo kedarka, creates a problem of bu'ula. So then she is a bu'ula, but she's not a zona. So mishum bu'ula ika, mishum zona leka, because the klal is, ain't znut lebehema. Znut means going out of boundaries, human boundaries. It doesn't apply bechlal. It's not part of the same set of worrying about sex with animals. And therefore, Rav said over here that a nivelet shelo kedarkaz, asur l'kohen gadol, and not because of zona, but only to a kohen gadol, and only because of bu'ula, but to a kohen hedyot. Indeed, she would not be asur mishum zona. Omer le'abaye, so Abaye asks now in Rav Yosef, u'manafshach, you cannot say that that's the case, that she was nivelet l'behima. Because i'bu'ula havya, if you're going to tell me that she gets a din of a bu'ula, so then it would have to be that she has a din of a zona also. Zona nami havi. V'izona lo havi, bu'ula nami lo havi. You cannot consider this to be a bia, and yet at the same time to say that it's not considered to be zonot. Now, the Rajba explains that the kasha over here is consistent specifically with the das that we just explained in Rabbi Elazar, who holds that a ponui habala penuyasu asazona, correct? So that means that the point over here is that since he holds that we don't need to look at the nature of the isser involved in the sexual relationship, so therefore, according to him, then enochinami, if any biad znut is considered to be his biad to make her a zona, so why should this be different? But enochinami, according to those who hold that only if someone is nivelet to someone who's posel to her, so a bas yisrael, let's say, to a mamzer, to a nesin, only that's a zona, so then of course you cannot say that the very fact that she's a bu'ula to an abeima makes her a zona. So, but there, the context here indeed is in terms of Rabbi Elazar. And after all, Rav is going over here, and the whole point of what he's trying to do over here is to teach us, sort of as a getter, v'lahagdil toyer v'lahadir. What would Rav Elazar hold? He's not coming to discuss his own personal opinion, so why doesn't he bring out Alibet Rav Elazar, says Abaye? You should say Alibet Rav Elazar. There should be no difference between the bia of a pony and the bia of a behemoth. V'chitem, and maybe you'll tell me, now wait a second, that doesn't necessarily follow. I mean, we know that in Mukas Eitz, right, Mukas Eitz is not something that's sexual, it's just like a Mukas Eitz. Okay, so maybe a bia, Shaloka Darka, of a behema, is like using a broomstick. And it's the same as basically a Mukas Eitz, Shaloka Darka. So there's a Mukas Eitz Kedarka, which removes her ptulim. But since the Torah compares the two mishkavot, and over here it's included shaloka darka, so maybe a something that penetrated her anus, that is completely not sexual, such as perhaps a behema, it's not a sexual issue at all, maybe it's just like a mukas eitz. So that would be crazy. Because I mean, there's no woman whose rear end hasn't been penetrated. I mean, the norm is to clean oneself after defecation in those days, certainly with a stone, a sharp stone, a clean stone, or some wood. So every woman in the whole world then would be a mukasetz, because there certainly ain't lecha kalisha sheir lekuna to the kohen gadol. Shelo naaseit mukatetz ayidei tzora. At one point or another, she went to the bathroom. And therefore, if we're going to admit that you can't become a bu'ula with a piece of wood, so too, when she developed a behema, she's certainly not going to be considered a bu'ula because he's a piece of wood. And if that's the case, if you're saying that the behema is not going to make her a zona, then it shouldn't make her a bu'ula. And if it does make her a bu'ula, then it does, in fact, make her a zona. So we've got a little bit of a problem, as Abaya points out, and now we're going to have to deal with the question of Rav, because if that's the case, she should be asura to koin adit mishum zona, and not only to koin gada mishum bu'ula. Elo amar Rabbi Zera, therefore Rabbi Zera says, let's look at a different possibility over here. It is possible for a woman to be a bu'ula, but not a grusha, not an amona, and not a zona. And that is the case that Rav was talking about when he was dealing with Rav Elazar Shita, that if she developed shalokat harkashis psulakun, and the case is bimema'enet. Bimema'enet, you will recall, is a ketana who does not have a father, or she may have a father biologically, but she has no father legally because he had already used up his rights to her and no longer has rights to marry her, so she was now married by her brothers who accepted kedushin, or mother accepted kedushin, and that's a kedushin derabbanan. And the Rabbanim, remember, gave her the right to walk out by saying, I don't like this guy anymore, and that's called miyun. So in this case, the Baal himself, who sleeps with her, Shalokadarka, would make her a Ba'ula, but there would be absolutely no problem of a Zona, because she's sleeping with her husband, which was entirely Lashem Ishut, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Lazar, would not create any problems at all. Even though the mode by which Mion works is through a retroactive annulment of the Kiddushin, that wouldn't matter, because at the time the Bial was done, there was no intent of casual sex, and therefore she would not become a Zona at all. And as we're saying, Panuya Bala Ptunya Shalo L'Shem Yishut. The whole point is Shalo L'Shem Yishut, is what Rabbi Elazar said. But if it's L'Shem Yishut, even Rabbi Elazar would never have said that you become a zona technically because of the fact that the marriage was subsequently retroactively annulled. Omer Reb Shimi Bachya, nivala lebehima kishera laguna, a woman who had been nivelet to an animal is considered to be kishera to marry a kohen gadol because she has a din of a mukas eitz, and according to those who hold that a mukas eitz is kosher, and this is Rashi's pshat in the Mishnah, he said, lo yusa mukateitz is dafka rebeloz and rebeshima. So according to Rashi, then the nivala la behima, even nivala kedarka, would be the equivalent of a mukas eitz. The problem is that according to those shitas like the Ritva, who learns that the Mishnah was saying mukas eitz according to everybody, according to Rebbe Meir and according to rebeloz and rebeshima, so when she is a mukas eitz kedarka, she would be asura to everybody. It would only be when she's a mukas eitz shalo kedarka that we would say that the nivelas behema shalo kedarka. But otherwise, we could say this even, that what we're referring to over here is even kedarka. Tanya nami achi, nivala l'misha eino ish, if she has sex with a non-human, then afa pisha biskila, even though had she done this willingly and with witnesses and so on, this would have been a horrible act, and she would be chayav skila. Nonetheless, if that weren't the case, and there was no edim, there was no rutz, and there was no atzra, whatever the case may be, she would then be kasherat lakuna. She could marry even the kohen gadol. Ki yasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, he said, look, we had an actual case. Ma'aseh b'riba. Riba is a young, juicy girl. Riba is in the sense of something that is juicy and young. So ma'aseh b'riba achat b'hitla. There was a place called Hitla, where a young girl, she was sitting there, bent over, and picking up the dirt on the floor, doing a little bit of brooming up close, where she was taking the dust into the dustpan. And Riva'a Kelev Kufri, a large, Kelev Kufri is like a large farm dog, he went ahead and he penetrated her Mi'achoreha, which would have been a Bir Shalokadarka. And they came to Rebbe, and they asked Rebbe, what's the din of this girl? And is she still okay? Rebbe said, this girl would be okay to Kohen Gadol. Yechshira Rebbe Lekuhuna, which Shmuel explains, he didn't mean Lekuhuna, he meant Lekohen Gadol. So in other words, she's not considered to be a Zonah, she's not even considered to be a Bula. Ask the Gemara, be May Rebbe Kohen Gadol, we have it. What do you mean Rebbe was Machshir for Kohen Gadol? No, obviously. When we said Kohen Gadol, it doesn't mean Rebbe was Machshir to Kohen Gadol. He said, nothing is wrong with this girl. She could even marry a Kohen Gadol. If Halavai, we should have a Kohen Gadol. Omele Rava, Rava who came from Parkin, said to Ravashi, Menah Milsa Domer Rabbanan Ein Znut L'Beima. Why is it that we take for granted that there's no such thing as znut when it has to do with a non-human intercourse? Dechtiv lo taviat non zonah mechir kelev. The Torah asks us to utilize an animal that was given in exchange for services of a whore to bring it on the Mizbeach, or an animal that was used to purchase a dog and to bring now that animal on the Mizbeach. Utanan. The Mishnah says beferish that etnan kelev. If, however, the other way around, let's say that somebody paid a woman to sleep with his dog, and that would be called the etnan of a kelev, or mechir of a zonah, or now he takes his shivcha and he exchanges her that he's using for sexual purposes. He exchanges her for a animal to be brought on the mizbeach. So then that would be mutter. Shenemar gam shnehem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Kitu avat Elohecha gam shnehem. So the drasha is shnayim. There are two things mentioned here, shnehem, velo arba'a, not four things. And if we would accept that an etnat kelev and a mechir zonah were also asur, so then we wouldn't have only two things that are asur on the mizbeach. So this teaches us that clearly it's not considered to be znus to pay a woman to sleep with an animal. That's not znus. Tana Rabbanan, and who sat that tzmo, mufutat that tzmo, a Kohen Gadol who went and raped a woman, or who seduced a woman. Now he wants to marry her. He can't. Lo yisa. Because she has to be a ptulab mi'amav yikach isha. It has to be the time that he does the likuchin. And over here, by the time he's coming to do likuchin, it's already too late because he's violated her. Ve'im, if he went ahead and nonetheless nasai, went ahead and he married her, nasui, so the marriage is certainly chal. If anusat chaveiro mufutat chaveiro, and if we're talking about a case where his friend had gone ahead, some friend, and had raped or seduced this woman, and now she's a bu'ula, then lo yisa ve'im nasa. If he went ahead and he did marry her, so clearly he's going to have to divorce her. That's because she's definitely a surava. But the question is, what would be the din if he got her pregnant? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer Avlat Chalal, the Vlad over here is a Chalal, because since he was nolad from an Isser, which is, even though it's only an Isser Asay, all it says, it doesn't say in the Torah, lo yikach bu'ula, it just says, v'hu isha biftulea yikach. So if he didn't do that, so we'd be over on a mitzvah sasei. So apparently, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds, even the offspring of a relationship with a woman is a mitzvah sasei, it's considered to be a halal. Whereas Chachomim omrim avlat kasher, the Chachomim say, where do we find that the Torah calls a totsov, a isra asei, a halal? And we're going to see more about this a bit later on this week. And therefore, the vlad in this case is kosher. Now, you say, im nasa, if he went ahead and married his own anusa, so then nasui, it's considered to be a marriage. Omer v'nomarav, which means motziah beget. I mean, obviously he can't keep her. He has to go ahead and divorce her. because she was a bu'ul at the time of the kuchen, so he was over on an isra'asei, and therefore the marriage is illicit. Yes, the Gemara v'lo diktoni. So why does it say in the brayso im nasa nasui? It should have said motzia beget. Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov lomar she'in mishalim knas b'mufuta. It's coming to tell me that if he goes ahead and he married her, so then he knows he doesn't have to pay the knas. Just like anybody who goes ahead and seduces a woman, if he then goes ahead and marries her, he's parted from a knas. And here, it's telling us that he's parted himself from the knas through marriage, despite the fact that he may have to divorce her now. That's not the issue. Ozal Reb Gevia Mibei Katir, Amra L'Shmaitei. So Reb Gevia Mibei Katir, that was the name of his town, went and said over these words of Rav Huna, that a Kohen Gadol went ahead and married his own victim of rape, or his own seductive, the woman that he had seduced, has to give her a get. He went and said this over to Rav Ashi. Come in to Rav Ashi. Well, Marlei, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Gevia Mibei Katir, but how could that be? Rav and Rav Yochanan, Damri Tarvayu, Mukat Eitz, Bogeret Mukat Eitz Lo Yisa. Kohen Gadol cannot marry a Bogeret Mukat Eitz Lo Katkila. But the Imnasa, if he went ahead and he was over on the Yisr, Nasui, he was over, but that's it. He already did it. So Alma, you see from here, he does not have to be Megarasher, is because since Sofa Liyot Bogeret Tachtav, I mean, so far, liot mukateitz tachtav. I mean, look, although it makes no sense. Whenever he marries a woman, in order to keep her, he's keeping a woman who's no longer a bitula, obviously. She's going to be losing her bitulim and be the equivalent of a bogeret, where her bitulim will be lost when he sleeps with her. He doesn't have to divorce her after sleeping with her once. So that means that when the same thing will be true here. Once he marries her, it's already over. He doesn't have to megarish her. Or she would be the equivalent of a mukas eitz, if in a normal case we would have taken a woman and married her, and then she would have lost her betulim. So he's not mechuyev to get rid of her. So clearly doesn't have to be megarasher, even though he did an iser in the marriage in this case. But b'diavad, there's no iser in continuing to keep this woman, obviously, because he's always going to be keeping a woman who's a bu'ula. So therefore, hakanami so far liyot bu'ula tachtav. I mean, all that we're saying is that this is the equivalent of the bu'ula. So once he went ahead, since he himself is the one who had slept with her, why wouldn't she be moved patera? Just as in the case where he himself had created the bu'ula in a normal marriage without having raped her, so she should be muteret. And that's definitely the opposite of what Rav Huna said. He said that even if he says that it's not Suri, but he still has to be Megarisha. Kasha. Indeed, Allah Rav Huna does not seem to make sense according to this.